press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to taste in
the shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Ooh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nominated?
They optioned no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I'm Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. Connor, what a day.
I've never experienced a day like today in my entire life. I'm exhilarated. I'm winded. I'm overly stimulated. It's really been something. I mean, how can one focus on work on a day like today?
I know. Thankfully, it fell. We're obviously talking about the funny girl drama.
True drama.
Yes, yeah. Thankfully, it fell during my lunch break. Otherwise, I would have had to cancel my 1:15 meeting.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Well, I was basically offline for like an hour just reading Twitter and Instagram. You know, it's been wild as hell. And, you know, you're hearing this in the future, listeners. So at this point, we've already dropped an episode on our Patreon, patreon.com/thedramapodcast, where we talked all about this. So, because it deserved its own episode. It really did.
This is huge. This is something that will be discussed in many, many years. You know, when you look back on the first ever revival of Funny Girl, what were the circumstances? And, you know, we haven't really had a lot of casting drama over the last few years. The closest I can remember was when Mandy Patinkin was casting Great Comet, and that sort of caused a kerfuffle. But, you know, usually producers either stick to their guns or they quietly sunset a production. You know, it's interesting.
Not
what's
sunset.
Going on here. Yeah, you know.
I know. Oh my God. Well, anyway. So everyone can go listen to it there, but we do have a really fun episode here today.
Yes, with a fun duo, which we love fun duos.
We do. We love them. We have like a little group on the pod. It's always such fun. Dylan, do you want to bring them in?
I'm ready. Our guests today are a dynamic duo, as I mentioned, who bring their charisma, curiosity, and honestly really cool energy to their web series, Second Act Snacks. They are branded as Broadway's first and only streamable show that combines the worlds of theater, food, and travel to try and see what Broadway bites. While on the road with Bandstand the Musical, these fellows began a quest to find the best snacks around the country. With their second season now on Broadstream, they are exploring the musically mentioned foods from the most popular shows that have treaded the boards. In addition to Bandstand, one of the guests named Mooch has also appeared in Harmony, Million Dollar Quartet, and more. And the other guest, Taylor, has appeared in Carousel, Bridges of Madison County, and more. These guys are smart, amazing, kind, and here to help you complete your Broadway experience whenever you take a bite. Please welcome to Drama, Matthew Mooch,
Mucha, and Taylor Oakey.
That was so well
I need
done.
An applause. I need the applause track.
Oh my God. I know we got a soundboard, like the little golf
Exactly.
Clap.
Oh my God. That was the greatest introduction. You introduced us better than anything we've ever said before. So
honestly, truly.
Oh, that's so kind.
I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
You guys, I'm obsessed with you. I mean, ever since we decided to make this happen, I told you I've had your theme song stuck in my head for ages. And you guys are so fun. Thanks for doing the pod.
Thanks. Oh my God. So happy to be here.
Thank you for having us. A fun fact about that, the origin story of that theme song, it obviously is a full theme song, but the lick, the second act snacks. We literally, can I curse on this episode?
Oh, yeah.
Is this a cursing? All right, great. So we pulled that out of our asses in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It was like we had like a handful of episodes under our belt. But then one day, literally, we just clicked record and went, second act snacks, second act snacks, second act snacks, second act snacks. And then from that point on, we did it at the beginning of every episode. So it literally,
I don't know what hit us
in the moment, happened together, and
it's magic. It's Dolly Parton with her nails writing 9 to 5 on the set.
Exact. Oh my God.
It really is.
Great reference.
We are.
It's brilliant.
Oh my God.
Wow. So just for clarification for the listeners, because this is, unlike your show, this is only an audio experience. Mm-hmm. The person who told that story was Taylor.
Yes, me, Taylor. Hi.
Okay.
Yes.
And I'm Mooch.
Yes.
This is me. Hello.
You guys are so fun. And I have so many questions about your origin story as friends and the evolution of Second Act Snacks and everything. But we'd like to ask all of our guests just to get things, you know, kind of kicked off. Are you guys well?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's
hesitant yet confident.
Yeah, I think it was my birthday on July 8th, so it was a busy, fun filled weekend, but now feels like the calm after the storm. So I'm doing well, I'm recuperated, I'm rested, but feeling good.
Nice. What did you do for your birthday?
I had a bunch of friends meet up at this bar on the Upper West Side, and then got brunch on Saturday, got breakfast.
Not ease.
Last year was ease. I'm almost positive. Okay. This year was George Keeley's, another local spot we love. And then surprisingly went to the Into the Woods opening last night, which was an absolute blast.
How was that a surprise?
Long story short, one of my best friends in the world is one of the head PR people on it. And it was like a last minute, like, we need a standby. Do you guys want to go? So popped into the woods and had a lovely time.
Oh my God.
Is it true that Brian D'Arcy James was not there?
So sadly he is out, but we saw it actually without even realizing we were going to see it again with Taylor. And yeah, we went last week and saw Brian, and then Jason Forbach was in as the baker for opening. And I got to say, excellent. So a different kind of baker, made big, bold choices, really had, like, you could tell he was having a blast. It was a lot of fun.
There's some tea. Did they let that slide underneath that he was out last night? Because I didn't see that anywhere.
Someone tweeted the understudy slur.
Yeah.
Wow.
Even we're going Thursday, and I was most looking forward to, I mean, of that cast, I am a Brian D'Arcy James. Super fan.
I kneel at the altar of James, Butts, Pasquale. Those are the three.
Okay, so absolutely. Well, Dylan, those are some of your faves too.
Those are, but Norbelio Butts is my fave. And now I'm thinking about maybe him as the baker.
Yeah, why not? I think
that would be sweet.
Oh, he's so good.
I know. Okay, so you saw Into the Woods. So you also got to see a Taylor.
Yes.
But anyways, I kind of interrupted our big question. Are you well, Taylor?
Yeah, you know, I just, the world spins around us and it's moving in so many, so many different directions, but I personally am well. And, you know, I feel like at this point in the state of our beings, it's like trying to keep calm in the chaos around us. So, you know, stay center. And I say to everybody, like, you do you. And at this point, like, I'm just trying to do me at this point.
Dylan and I say that to each other all the time. Well, Dylan says it to me.
But we always say, we go, you do you, dude. And dude is like a word that I, you know, it's it's queer friendly now. You know, it used to be brother heteronormative, but it's, you know, dude, just do you.
Yeah.
It's true.
I'm a you do you boo type of
ooh.
Yeah, you do you boo. So
All right. Maybe I'll take that one. I also feel pretty calm looking at the blue wall that you're.
Okay. All right. Hold on. Is it blue or is it green? Because this has been
blue.
This is
Taylor.
Are you colorblind?
She's blue.
I'm not.
The dress is blue and black. It is not yellow and
I've never seen the white and gold or whatever.
This is
never.
It's been an article of discussion in this apartment, and I say it has blue, I would say it's a cousin of blue, but it is definitely an undertoning green.
But it's like a step cousin of green if it's a cousin of blue.
Whatever.
That's blue. But it is very common now that I'm
our screenshot that we'll be posting on our Instagram that features you in this blue green room. Everyone can write below.
Yeah, everyone, please vote green for Amazon gift card. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
I love it.
There's no fine print on that.
Zero fine print.
Did you guys see Into the Woods at City Center?
No, I'm so mad, and I really wanted to.
Yeah, I was going to ask who you preferred, Heather or Patina.
Oh,
but
it's interesting because, like, I've now seen it twice. So going in the second time, I really like focused in on some things that I wanted to take a second look at. And there was something about that video of Heather from the rehearsal room that I like so viscerally, everybody just like exploded in. And there's and I mean, Patina just does it in a different way, whether it's, you know, subjectively better or worse. So I wish I could have seen Heather's whole thing live to have that comparison. But God, that video was unreal.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm sad that she didn't go with it, but I'm sure Patina's great. You know.
Yes.
You know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited to see it Thursday. Okay. So you guys know each other. Can you tell me like how you met originally?
Yeah. So we actually met day one of Bandstand rehearsals. Open Jar, giant studio that you see everybody rehearsing in now, walked in day one, met each other. And we later found out, so Bandstand went through like this huge, very long casting process because, you know, people are playing live on stage. So it's a hard show to cast. Mm-hmm. Mooch and I were actually the two last people, I think aside from Jen Smith, who ended up playing Julia on tour, Mooch and I were the last two men cast in the show. And there was basically our tracks aligned really closely because we are the non-dancing ensemble tracks that understudied all of the principals. So
wow,
essentially during these long ass rehearsal days while the ensemble is learning choreography, Mooch and I were just straight up chilling, you know, on the side, like memorizing lines and taking notes. And that was kind of how our friendship started, because everyone else was being used and we were just kind of like on the side, like waiting for somebody to tell us to move a prop essentially. And so because of that, we formed a really good friendship. And then when we went into tech, that's kind of how the second act snacks kind of grew, was in tech. And but all together, like our friendship and this bond that we kind of created and this chemistry that we have all started day one of Bandstand. We had not, sadly, we didn't know each other before this.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this was pre-pandemic, obviously, because I remember the tour just ended with the with the shutdown. Yes. Right?
We what was it? We started rehearsals, I think, like September 2019. Mm-hmm. We were out from like October until March 13th, 2020.
Wow. My friend John Michael was on that tour.
Michael was my roommate.
That was smooching. Hey. Really?
Yeah. Him and his wife were two of my buddies when I worked at 54 Below.
Oh, that's right. So I was like, who do I know that worked at 54 Below? It was John Michael. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. Oh, he was beloved server.
Mm-hmm. Beloved. Oh, sure. Now they live in
New Hampshire.
Yes. After they got married. Oh, love John Michael.
What, and now he's like a woodworker. I'm just kidding. Yeah, he does that kind of stuff. But
I think, like, I mean, unless it's just the aesthetic, he is like the lumberjack man, big beard, flannel just shirt,
covered in maple syrup at this point. I feel like
And his wife, her family owns like a pumpkin patch, and I want to say Virginia or something like that.
Yeah.
So, very earthy folks.
Such a quaint little thing. Yeah. Very
earthy. Did you have a good Bandstand experience?
We talk about it all the time, and like our cast talks about it too. It was one of those things that I don't think we realized how lucky we were until we got it taken away. So, you know, so negatively and so dramatically because of COVID, and like we never got a true closing night or closure whatsoever, but we have a group chat that is active. I'd say pretty much every day, somebody's talking about it. Some of my closest friends, Taylor included, are from that tour. A lot of us, I think it was a majority of us, was our first tour. Mm. So we hadn't really known what to expect. And, you know, we'd all heard rumors that touring is a nightmare. Or like if you get a shitty cast or like difficult personalities, you're going to be, you know, it's going to be tough. And we all just kept thinking, like, I don't know what people were talking about. We were so close and so loved. And I think the show itself was a big part of that, just because we were really, our show is so incorporated with the TAPS organization. So we all had relationships with vets and stuff like that, where we felt like, yes, the show is important, but the people that the show was representing were definitely way more important than us singing and dancing. So we kind of had that in the back of our minds, and it was really a bonding effect for all of us. I mean, yeah, I saw some of them, whoever was around, Taylor and, you know, a few other cast members on my birthday on Friday. And it's a really special bond that I don't think any of us really expected.
Yeah. And the show itself, you know, it had such a short run on Broadway, but did either of you get a chance to see it?
We did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We saw it at Paper Mill as well.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Wow. Yeah.
When it was the Bandstand.
The Bandstand with that purple and gold. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
program.
Exactly.
So you know, it's a very American story. It's a very patriotic story, and taking it to some of the most patriotic states in the country, you saw the effect it had, particularly on vets. I will never forget this for the rest of my life. You know, so much of Bandstand dives into PTSD and the effect that war has on our men and women who serve. And we played a week at the National Theater in DC, and I walked out of the stage door and was walking back to the hotel, and somebody stopped me on the street and happened to be a vet who served in Vietnam. And he shook my hand. He said, I've never seen my story be told like that. He's like, everything, and I get chills like talking about it. He just said, I want you to know that like everything you guys talk about is real. Like that's me. Like you guys told my story and I've never had that happen before. And it was stories like that over and over again that just made me and I think all of us realize that what we were doing and the story we were telling was so much bigger than us and so much bigger than hitting that high B flat at the end of Donnie Nowitzki every night. Like there was so much more important. And I think because of that and because of the relationships we created, like we will all remember that as like one of the best experiences ever.
Oh, totally love it.
Yeah.
That gave me chills. I love that. That's what they say. The best theater takes the mirror and reflects it back. And
yeah, absolutely.
That's definitely a group that has gotten a raw deal over the years. And it's nice that there was some representation for that generation as well. Absolutely. And also, you know, Cleveland is mentioned. We're Cleveland boys.
So, hey, there you go. You know,
we loved that aspect.
Doesn't that take place in Cleveland mostly?
Yeah.
With a theory.
With a little dip in New York. They just come to New York right at the end.
Okay, it's telling my life story.
Yeah. Right there. Anyway.
And also, I get, you know, it must have been a great experience too, because then you guys met and you started Second Act Snacks. So did you say it was an Instagram Live?
So yeah, so how it happened was so Taylor and I had such similar tracks in the show. We knew that we were, you know, because as much time as we spent on stage together, all of it was spent backstage. Since we were so linked with our tracks, we had our dressing stations were next to each other. We got changed next to each other. So, you know, inherently we were going to get close, and we're both big foodies regardless of this. And when we were in College Station, College Station.
That was opening. So Texas. Oklahoma City was when we were in tech.
Oklahoma City. Thank you. When we were in Oklahoma City, we had this idea where we were like, let's find some food from here. And like, when we have a break in our second act, which we knew was from like, I Got a Theory until like Band in New York City, which is like in between that is like a big dramatic monologue and song and everything. We're like, let's just like try some food and see if we like it so we can like mark it off our own personal little bucket list. And funnily enough, I did an Instagram takeover from Bandstand's account on opening, and the first ever Second Act Snacks is on that highlight that's now saved. So
oh, fun.
For anyone who wants to scrub through Bandstand Broadway on Instagram, you'll find my little old headshot and go through there. But we did it as just like Instagram stories on, I think it was like my Instagram at the time, just for fun. And like, you know, it was exciting for us to do. And like my mom thought it was really sweet. So we're like, whatever. And over the course of the tour, from that moment in October until I'd say the end of that year in December, we would do it, and then we'd start getting messages from Bandstand as like a very specific cult following. And we'd get a lot of messages from those fans that not only loved the show, but also followed us and then really loved what we were doing, because they thought it was, you know, it's that backstage kind of thing, but it's also silly. And, you know, it's like a Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives of it all, that you get like a little taste of it. So we just did it on our own Instagram. Come 2020 in January, we made a Second Act Snacks Instagram because I just wanted to get it off mine and put it somewhere it can live. And then we started like posting them, and we would have fans DM us and say, oh my God, you're going to my home state and, you know, you have to go to this place and do this. Or we'd have people bring us food and all this stuff, which was so unexpected, but it really all just came from like a little random idea on Instagram that turned into this massive thing that we now have, which is wild, wild to comprehend.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have a following.
Yeah, it's a fun little. It's a fun little wild. Place,
it's wild, and I think we both realized something was off, because we walked out of the stage door and they're like, "Oh my God, it's the snack guys!" And
they would like wait for the principals and then see us and be as excited. And I'm like, "No, no, he just like belted his heart out for 3 hours. I moved like a building and had like a bit part." And it was that's when we were like, I think people like this, maybe. Is this a thing?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people, this is maybe more, you know, pandemic affiliated, but a lot of people started their own things during the pandemic.
Absolutely.
And a lot of them haven't continued. And I think that for there's probably a variety of factors for that, but I think that the two of you have that special sauce, not a food pun, but like, mm-hmm. you know, that really like carried it onwards, you know, mm-hmm. like anybody with a camera can make a YouTube series or a web series,
yeah. Yeah.
but I think it's the chemistry and the energy that you guys bring to it that makes it really special.
Oh, thank you.
And that's, I think that was something that, because as we know, because of the pandemic, our original, what Second Act Snacks was, died,
yeah.
you know, it died with Bandstand, yeah. essentially. And we had so many people telling us from the beginning, like, it's your chemistry. It's just the two of you. It's your banter. Like, you can tell your friends. And truly, like, we were just two idiots on a phone screen. Like, there was nothing, nothing was rehearsed. Everything was just, here's food that we found from the location we are. We're going to eat it. And I'm going to tell you that I don't like it. Like, that's essentially what it was. And I think because so many people commented on our chemistry and the fun we were having, and because we genuinely enjoyed it, and then add in the dash of we were very unemployed, that we just decide let's throw something together. We have nothing else to do, and that's kind of how this new entity was born, was because of that very thing. Like, the pandemic gave us this opportunity, this time that we absolutely necessarily would not have had otherwise.
Mm-hmm. And now you're on Broadstream.
Tell us about
this journey to Broadstream.
So the journey to Broadstream is so
weird.
It's very strange, because when we came out with our, so like Taylor just said, the pandemic happened. OG Second Act Snacks was no more. We tried like an interview version series of it. It was fun, but it wasn't hitting the way that we wanted it to for ourselves. We knew that what we loved about the show was the two of us and the food and everything, and being stuck inside, it just felt a little off. So we took time away over the summer of 2020. We met up, we added my fiance, Jamie, who's now our executive producer, who's, aside from being a brilliant actor and producer, just is a very smart business person. And the three of us sat down and came up with the new premise for the show, which is finding the real life versions of foods mentioned in Broadway shows. The most easiest one is, like, you know, pastrami on rye from Newsies. That's a given. Mm. And we always said that our goal with the first season was just to get the show together, throw it out there, and like reignite our little fan base. And if people liked it, cool, we did something. We were starving for some sort of outlet during COVID. You know, we need something to do while everything else was on pause. And we always said our like big pie in the sky dream was like, maybe by the end of the first season, someone will have seen it and will have said like, hey, let's talk about putting it somewhere or adapt it or whatever. And it was the week after our second episode of season one dropped on Instagram, because we only did it on Instagram and YouTube. We got an email from somebody out of the blue just saying like, hi, my name is so-and-so. I'm the, you know, lead runner of this new platform called Broadstream. We love your show. We'd love to talk. And we were all like, okay, this is
We all took screenshots of the email being like, is this real? Like, this is a prank, right?
And yeah, so- I thought like, honestly, Taylor was like punking us and like, you know, it's like so, playing like a bit, because why not?
We all went into that first Zoom meeting being like, are you sure? Like, are you real? And we all literally for weeks after, we just kept saying, it all like unraveled very in a way I never expected it to, you know. Yeah. I just wanted people to see it and laugh and hope that somebody down the line wanted to partner with us to help us make it reach a broader audience. Mm-hmm. But never did I ever expect for somebody to like it so soon.
Yeah. And it came at like a perfect time, because Broadstream was in their early development of getting shows on their roster. And I think they saw that we were kind of in those early stages of figuring out what this new version was going to be and where was it going to live. And weirdly enough, it all just coincided so perfectly that our first season, Taylor, myself, Jamie, and our buddies, Ryan and Shawnees from Bandstand, we put together season one from, you know, a GoFundMe, a camera, basic skills in editing and social media, and threw it together. And what Broadstream allowed us to do is not only expand our team for season two, but also give us, you know, quality of footage that we were able to get and more of, like Taylor said, a broader audience and just taking the show that we already had and not changing anything about it, but just giving it like a real big glow up, which we desperately wanted.
Mm-hmm. It's great. I mean, it's glowing. I know. I was just going to say, I started watching some season one and then I jumped to season two and because I wanted to, you know, be caught up on the new season, of course. Mm-hmm. And it looks and sounds incredible. I mean, the quality is fantastic. You should be so proud of it. I mean, I especially loved the Jersey Boys episode, which we did talk about a little bit before, but
like the first season was those noticeable shows, like the food reference and shows. And now the second season, you're maybe leaving New York a little bit and changing it up.
Yeah. We were able to leave, which is so nice because season one, a big thing aside from just doing the show, we wanted to be so unbelievably safe with COVID. It was still at a time before vaccines. We did all of our eating outdoors and we didn't want it to feel like we were just like romping around New York, not caring, because we knew that this was, you know, happening. It was important. And we also ended up finding that so many shows that we wanted to hit just so happened to be in Manhattan and we lived here and it was easy. And then with Broadstream in season two, we were given the means and the funding to be able to, you know, explore outside. So we, you know, our Dear Evan Hansen episode is in Connecticut, Jersey Boys is in New Jersey. We go to Philly for an episode later in the season. Like we get to spread our wings a little bit, which is a lot of fun.
And it's all wrapped, right?
Yeah. Season two is, we're in the process of just, you know, building the social media stuff, giving final sign off on edits, but we filmed just almost a year ago, last August,
the season. Been in.
Oh
yeah.
It's giving like Real Housewives. Like they film, you know, like 9 months before too.
I love that.
I need season three's premiere to be you guys in London doing like meat pies.
Listen, and that is from your lips to whoever ears will listen, because we have been saying that from day one, that our ultimate goal is to do an international episode or international season. I also want to do a Disney holiday special. So if anybody from Disney is listening, please call me. But
yeah, Taylor, you love Disney. I see a Disney book behind you.
Mm-hmm. Disney was like my introduction to musical theater. So, you know,
that could be an incredible, you know, segue here for questions that we do ask all of our guests.
Oh my gosh.
About that moment. Wow. That was perfect.
I didn't even mean to. Thank you so much.
Well, you know, we ask all of our guests about their introduction to the arts, whether it be wanting to partake in it or just consume it. And we call it the Ring of Keys moment, that moment of recognition. Taylor, do you want to share your Ring of Keys moment?
Yeah. So I can think of two specific ones. First being Disney. I grew up, my parents were huge Disney fans. And so I grew up on all of the movies. So I wanted to be Hercules. I wanted to be the Little Mermaid, quite frankly. Like I just, I loved these songs and I loved singing them. And Disney was absolutely the thing that introduced me to the concept of telling story through song. And I've been singing since five, but then that was what introduced me to telling a story through song. But I will never forget, it was my first ever community theater production that I was ever in. I was in the children's ensemble of The Music Man. And by that means I was in the opening number and Wells Fargo Wagon and the closing number. And that was it. But I will never forget, in Wells Fargo Wagon, there was like 100 kids in this like children's chorus. And what the director had us do, they had us like stage right, stage left. And then during that the big part, they had us in a line crossing. And like, you know, stage magic, it looks so much more like beautiful and technical than it is, but it's literally just a bunch of chubby, like 10-year-olds like crossing in front of each other. But I remember opening night of that, the audience applauded while we were doing that. And I was like, they're applauding for me. I was like, this is it. And then from there, I was like, I want to do this for the rest of my life. And so like, Disney and then also a chubby 10-year-old crossing the stage is my Ring of Keys moment, because
I love it.
I love it. Really quick, where did you grow up?
Indiana.
Okay. Ooh. Little Midwest. Yeah. And Mooch, what about you? What was your Ring of Keys?
Well, I'm from New Jersey originally, and I come from a family of football people. My dad was a head football coach for a ton of years. My brother played football, is now working for the New York Giants. I played football for, I think, about a week and made myself sick half the time because I just did not like it. It did not click with me. I played baseball for a bit. It was fun, but it wasn't the thing that I really, I understood why my dad and my brother really loved it, but I could just tell that sure. It was not my thing. And in middle school, my eighth grade year, the school was putting on a production of Aladdin. And as a joke, my friends and Disney. I thought, Disney, as a joke, my friends and I thought it would be funny to audition and like see what would happen. So we auditioned. One of my childhood best friends at the time was cast as Aladdin. I was cast as the genie. And I was like, okay, this will be like silly and fun, whatever. And then like rehearsal started and there was just something about the process of like repetition and landing something correctly and being collaborative that even at that age, I was like, oh, this is really fun in a way that I like never kind of knew. And then like kind of similar to Taylor, like, you know, it's the middle school opening night. I'm painted in blue latex paint that got stuck in my hair and I'm wearing blue tights and there's all my family and friends and I got to do it. And I just had so much fun doing something that I love that it finally clicked for me in a way that I'm sure like sports and stuff like that clicks for my dad and my brother. I'm like, oh, like that's where the joy is. Like, that's just what it was. And then ever since then, I just have been nothing but in love with this industry, this business, the creative side of it all. But yeah, I think the genie and the first musical I ever saw on Broadway or musical was Little Shop. And as like a little, as like a little boy, I was like, there's like blood and guts and they're singing about it. This is like the sickest thing in the world. So like the mixture of being introduced to that and then getting to do Aladdin really kind of just like clicked it all for me.
I love it. A little Disney magic.
Oh, that's right.
I was just going to say, So fun. Now, I also cut you guys off earlier when we were talking about, you know, your dreams for Second Act Snacks, But I do just want to like put a pin on all that and just say congratulations. It is so good. Everybody needs to check it out. And I realized, because I wasn't really a Broadstream guy until Second Act Snacks, I have to say, but you know, it's free. It's free. You just have to make an account and you can watch everything to your heart's desire. Yeah. So, yeah.
And that was that was a huge pull for us. When we met with them, when they said it is 100% non-subscription, and we didn't want to have something that we created this fan base and we created this community with, quite frankly, a lot of younger musical theater fans for them to then have to pay to see more. That wasn't what we wanted. So yeah, we can't say enough good about this home that they've given us and this platform that they've allowed us to have, because they've been nothing but a pleasure to work with.
Mm-hmm. Oh, amazing. Yeah, we'll include the links and everything and the episode notes, but if I may make a suggestion for a future episode,
please,
Dylan, you're not a producer,
because Taylor, I know you were in Carousel, so we have to do a clam bake.
On our docket for season two, but because of travel, it's there though. We actually, I think, possibly still have the restaurant that we Googled that has like, there's something about their history where they're like the oldest in Maine or something. So,
and you guys can
jump in the car with us and we'll go.
Listen, and anybody who has watched either season one or two and knows my reaction to any seafood knows that while Carousel is one of my favorite musicals of all time, it will be one of the most painful episodes to ever film.
Yeah, watching you eat the anchovy pizza was like, I forget what episode that was. Was that Jersey
Boys? That was Jersey Boys, yeah.
Yeah, that was, I mean, your face, I mean, you were furious.
Mooch
pulled out that piece
of
pizza.
I am still recovering from that moment.
You're like, if I wasn't on camera right now, I would slap this out of your hand.
Oh God, I love stuff like that. And I love, because I'm not really a picky eater, so I'll go for anything. But Taylor is sometimes so specific that it makes it almost more fun to be like, oh no, we're gonna give you like a full fish. Yeah. Like when's the come from away episode where we like eat a full cod and you have to just suck it up and kiss the cod. Might have to do that.
Yeah. See, the possibilities are endless. Yeah.
Kiss the cod, baby.
Kiss the cod.
I love it.
Oh my God, I feel like I want to keep talking to you guys, but we do have to wrap up soon here, and we like to end on a dose of drama, which is a little pop culture recommendation, something you might want to leave our listeners with to go out into the world and consume or think about, you know, as they go about their days. It could be something you want to promote, truly anything. And I do have to say, I just finished reading a book that everybody has been telling me to read forever, and it's going to be a movie now that's coming out this weekend. But I just read Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens. Have you guys read it?
My fiance, I think, either is in the middle of reading it or has read it, but I've been meaning to get to it because I keep hearing about it.
Oh my God. And Dylan literally left the book for me like when I moved into my place last year. And I saw two people at the airport reading it this past weekend. Believe the hype. It is beautiful. It's,
all right.
I think, an instant American classic.
Wow.
I
mean, it's thrilling. It's thrilling as well.
Yeah, it's really great. And it, you know, it is a little bit of a slow burn in a way, but once you're in, you are in, and it's fantastic. Cannot say enough good things about it. I almost don't want to see the movie because I feel like the book was just,
I just
finished it and it's so fresh. And I'm like holding it up as this lovely story here. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I guess that's drama that I don't know if I want to support Daisy Edgar Jones and her newest venture that Taylor Swift wrote a song for. But anyway. Dylan, do you have a dose of drama today?
My dose of drama is super quick. I went to a wedding for one of my best friends from college.
Aww.
And it was a wonderful, it was an amazing time. My drama from the whole wedding of it all was, I don't know, and I don't think he'll hear this, if the mother-son dance or the father-daughter dance needs to be like 5 minutes. Like maybe just make it 90 seconds, maybe less than 2 minutes, because it's sweet. We're all taking photos. Mm-hmm. They probably don't really have a lot to talk about out there because there's, you know, they're nervous and, you know, it's...
Yeah, Mooch, take notes because you're engaged, right?
My fiance, I went to a friend of hers wedding, and the minute that the dance started, you know, you see like... the father of the bride and the bride chat for a bit, and then there's just like the silence and you're just right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 90 seconds might be enough. Doesn't matter if the song is amazing or not, you know. All right, that's my dose of drama. Taylor or Mooch, do either of you have a dose of drama for us today?
Take it,
Taylor,
Mooch.
Taylor, do you want to go?
I was gonna say you go first.
Okay. All right, I'll give two little things. One, that I just, Connor, you reminded me of. There's a book that I read most recently. I don't remember the author, so someone figured it out for me. The book's called Defending Jacob, and it was also adapted into an Apple TV Plus series that my fiance is in, like, a very active book club, so I get all my books from her, essentially. And read Defending Jacob, really loved it, and then I thought, when we watched the Apple TV series, I had that nervous feeling as well, where I'm like, oh God, like I hope it's good. And like, if they screw things up, and they change some things, but in ways that I think makes a really fun discussion about adaptation and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So if you want a good one, both TV and book, Defending Jacob, the author's name is escaping me.
Did you finish the series?
Yes.
A really quick anecdote about that. We had Myra Lucretia Taylor she's a Broadway actress who was nominated for a Tony for Tina. She was the judge in that series.
Oh, no way.
We asked her about it. She definitely won't hear this. And she literally had no idea what the show was about. She was like, oh, was it good? Like, it was like so iconic.
She definitely didn't just remember like a day doing it. Type
thing. You know, she just went in, did the gig.
She was like, oh. That was it.
I'm glad you liked it. Like, it was so legend.
She was so funny about it. Oh my God. It was good. And Chris Evans is ultimately one of the hottest we have. So we have to support him.
And you know, it's fascinating. When I was reading the book, in my brain, I kept seeing like a Jason Bateman type. And I kept seeing for like the other lawyer, LeJudas, played by, I think it's Pablo Schreiber. I kept seeing like George Costanza from Seinfeld. So when I saw the show, I was like, oh, okay, now this is what it's supposed to be. This is great.
Yeah. What was your second dose? Sorry for interrupting you.
No, all good. My second one is super nerdy. If anybody out there, I'm also a big video game guy. My brother bought me Elden Ring on my PlayStation 5 for my birthday. If anybody needs to dive into something that will take me so long to beat, and I have no idea what's going on in the game, but it's gorgeous and a lot of fun, highly recommend Elden Ring. And if anybody does get it, you can DM me, because there's a lot of questions I had that I almost know answers to. So happy to help.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. I love,
I've heard good, you know,
do they still do guidebooks for games like that?
Yeah. I mean, I used to buy, I remember being a kid and going, because my brother is 7 years older than me, and we would go to like a GameStop, get a game, and they would sell those like gorgeous big books. Now everything is online, but I remember so viscerally having like, you know, the Ratchet and Clank PlayStation 2 guidebook that you'd scroll to like chapter 18 and it's like, go around here. And they were like crazy pieces, but they do have it on, there's an Elden Ring Wikipedia that is unbelievably needed. Cause again, this game just starts and it's like, okay, have fun. And there's no explanation. Yeah. So I recommend it.
A good challenge though. My boyfriend calls those cheat books, and cause I have mine from Legend of Zelda and Fire Emblem and stuff like that. And he's like, no, you have to just play the game.
But like for games like that, you cut. Yeah. It's like a helpful nudge.
Absolutely. Exactly. Taylor, bring us home with a dose of drama.
bring us home. So I think mine is old, but it's new to me because I just read it the other day. So is anybody in this chat a fan of Selling Sunset? Because
I am.
Well, I am the biggest. It's nice.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
No, I cannot get enough of it. I have rewatched, I think there are five seasons.
Yeah.
I will be at work and just have Selling Sunset on the background. I'm obsessed with it. I cannot look away. But I'm obsessed with this whole like Christine Chrishell drama. And so apparently Christine is gone. She's left the O group. She is starting her own firm with her billionaire tech husband. But there's so much drama. But then I can't find the podcast, but I saw on a TikTok the other day.
Okay.
Where Christine was telling this podcast host that she's like, none of it was real. I'm not a bad person. And if you, spoiler alert, if you watch season 5, they talk about how Christine paid one of Emma's
Empanada
clients.
Emma.
Yes, Empanada Emma, which that could be a whole podcast.
That's like a Riverdale itself, character, Empanada but Emma. Keep going.
Yes.
She ultimately is.
She really is. Emma claims that Christine paid one of her clients $5,000 to not use Christine. And so, but now Christine is claiming that's not true. And on this podcast, she shows the lady a video of a producer planting something, but then they went to commercial break. So I didn't get to see the answer to it and I can't find the podcast. So my tea drama is whoever's listening to this, please send me the podcast.
A call to action.
I need to see it now too.
Yeah. A call to action.
I fear that if Christine's off the show, they don't have it. They don't have anything anymore.
And they will bring in somebody else to, because here's the only issue I have with my beloved show. I do feel like the last two seasons have been a little forced and staged. I feel like they brought in people to keep, because I mean, literally, if you look at the first like season, it was just a bunch of white ladies. And then I think after the first season, they're like, oh, fuck, we screwed up. And brought in somebody every season to kind of mix things up a bit. But all the core of all of that is Christine just being this giant source of the drama. So I'm interested to see how the show can navigate without her. But I will be there for seasons 5,000 because I love it so much.
I love that. That's so fun.
You guys are so much fun. I really, really appreciate you bringing your energy, that famous chemistry. Ooh. And also
a little bit of it. Drama. Just a little bit.
Yeah. So thank you. Thank you so much. Everyone can find you just at Second Act Snacks, right?
Yeah. At Second Act Snacks on, I think it's on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, I think. Yeah. On all the.
All right. And of course on Broadstream as well. We'll make sure we include all the links.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, guys.
Guys, this was a blast. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
This was so much fun. Had a blast.
Thank you.
And of course, anyone who's not following us better, it's at The Drama Podcast. I'm at Dylan McDowell. Connor's at Connor McDowell. And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.